Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Hello. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio. My name is of no consequence. But if you need to know my name, it's Peter Leonard.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
And I'm Nicole Jeffrey.
And we also have Larry O'Grady staring at us.
Hi, I'm Larry O'Grady.
And Mike Perillo staring at us.
Here he is.
This is Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Why do you hear about it?
Tonight we're going to talk about many interesting things in relation to the world of the paranormal. And that's all I have.
And welcome everybody to Paranormal Investigator Radio. Hopefully we'll entertain you this evening with some of the things we have, if we have anything, right?
I have a couple of things.
All right, great. Welcome, Nicole.
All right.
What do you got?
Okay, first thing, I was doing some research on earlier. I'd like to talk about the stigmatized property.
Oh, very good.
Do you know what that is?
Houses sure with holes in them.
Kind of. Houses with ghosts in them.
Ghosts or G-hosts? Do we have a stigmatized property law in New York State? I don't know if they ever passed it, did they?
There isn't, but you have a case.
You know, I don't know if there is or not.
But I will tell you, New York State, back in 1991, there was a Supreme Court case in New York. It was Stamboski versus Ackley. And it is known as the Ghostbusters ruling, where they did deem a property as haunted in order for the buyer to receive their money back from the seller due to the undisclosure of the haunted house. So that did happen. But I don't think any laws were passed in New York.
I don't know. That we'll have to look up. I don't know if there's or not, to be totally honest with you. I'm not a realtor, but maybe that's something that someone... We can look into that maybe for next show and see what if there is.
Absolutely.
Maybe even call a realtor, see if there's a...
Yeah.
They should know.
Yeah, they would know. I mean, they do have to disclose. I do see the stigmatized property is other than hauntings, deaths, suicides, murders, serious illness, and criminal activity that have happened in the house that could...
I don't think I'd want to buy... I don't care how beautiful the home is. If there was a murder in the home, I don't think I'd want to live there. I really wouldn't. Would you?
I don't think so. Knowing that happened...
Somebody's life was taken, yeah. No, I don't think so. Wow, that...
What?
What was that? Hello?
You have a stigmatized radio station right now.
I think so.
1-888-429-5471. Like the Amityville house in Long Island is actually a stigmatized property. Whether there's a law or not, that is.
I was just going to bring that up because there was just something on the news about how they are suing the owners are suing the people that sold them the house.
The last time I heard anything about that house was... What's going on?
Now we're on. We apologize for the interruption.
Right,
it would seem that we have a stigmatized internet connection here tonight.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
I don't know how far the people were listening, but...
Amityville.
I think they took the big scary windows out of the front, and they actually changed the name of the street that the house is on, so they would try to throw people off so they wouldn't find the house. But I don't think that's worked because they still get people... banging on the door and asking, "Hey, is this the DeFeo house? And, you know, is this the house all numbered?" But I don't know.
And just like the one in The Conjuring, they are suing Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers sold the house to a family, and they're having problems with trespassers and paranormal investigators trespassing, trying to investigate the property.
But that goes, you know, hand in hand. If you're going to be on TV or your house is going to be in a movie, you know, you're going to open yourself up to that kind of thing. That kind of thing happened here not too long ago, upstate New York, where a certain house was on a particular TV show. And right after the TV show aired, I guess there was trespassers all over the people's property. And Pete probably could chime in on this.
It wasn't a case of ours, but it was a local thing. And she pretty much reached out to me, like, people are on her property. There were 40 or 50 people being belligerent. We have a right to be here. We have a right to be in your house. I'm like, well, call the police or shoot them. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't have a right to be there. No. It's like, I don't know what you want me to do about it, but definitely call the police and have them removed.
Right.
It's a mix. It's actually an amazement, the stuff people think in their mind, that how do you have a right to be in someone's home?
Because
it was on TV.
It's amazing, too, that not only that they think they have a right to be in your home or in your property, but it's amazing how, because these shows don't give you the address and everything, it's amazing now people look at a certain thing and go, darn it, I know where that is. I'm going there tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was me, I couldn't find it if you gave me directions. But certain people just know where that is.
Well, you know what? We have the Google Maps now. Street View. It makes it easy for people to get to those places.
That's true.
In this home that was local, there was no way you would find that by accident. You had to specifically find that.
Oh, no,
that was not an easy...
They're off the beaten path, for sure.
Way beyond the off-beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
That would be your specific destination to go there if you wanted to go to that house. Stigmatized. That's why when you are a paranormal investigation group, you have to be very, very careful about what you say when you're presenting your findings to a family, because you can put yourself into a world of hot water. And a trend we've seen developing lately are people trying to break their leases, calling us up that the ninth layer of hell exists in their apartment building and this and that, and they're just begging and waiting for some uneducated group to come in there and agree with them, like, oh my God, you got a demon in the closet. And then that person who's renting is going to turn around and say, well, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal told me there's a demon in that closet. I fear my life. I don't want to stay here. I'm leaving this place.
That's particularly one reason why when we do an investigation in a house, we really don't say to the person, this place is haunted. We don't really use that. Could be active. Could maybe not active.
I think as a group, we don't even use the word haunted.
No.
We use active or activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of saves it a little bit there. I don't think any investigation group should use that word.
I don't think so.
Because people assume the worst when they hear haunted. Just not a good word to use.
Well, it goes back to the being stigmatized.
And we're back. Way to go, internet carrier. We're not going to say your name.
We
piece of garbage, grandpa.
We certainly apologize for the interruptions. We're having a problem with the internet connection tonight.
Go figure.
But go ahead. You said, Pete, that you have lived in a place where murder is taking place, or a haunted place?
Definitely haunted. I will use that word because I grew up with 20 years of paranormal activity. There's no other word to describe it other than haunted. But during the flu epidemic of 1918, they used to store bodies in the basement. It was a mom-and-pop shop at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They would bring the bodies up, have a wake, and then across the street was a Catholic church. They would have funerals there. So it was an unending circle for a short period of time. And you've all know my story growing up, mm-hmm. the things that happened, from the full body shadows that you'd see walking down the halls, the smaller shadows, the head of the Revolutionary War soldier that was at my bed, something constantly behind you, seeing your breath in the basement, and on and on and on.
You know, it's amazing that you mentioned, because I basically grew up on the same area that you grew up in. Different times. I grew up in the 70s, And you obviously grew up in a later time, but when I was
75.
But when I was a kid, I used to walk that particular street going to my friend's house, and sometimes I'd walk it in the 8, 9 o'clock at night, going home, and because we lived not too far from actually where his house was, and it was the street in and of itself was creepy back then.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Did you ever play back near the river?
Oh, absolutely.
At nighttime?
We played baseball, actually, in back of one of those houses. Not too far from where you live.
Were you ever back there at night?
No, it was during
the day. That used to particularly creep the poop out of me.
But being back there at night.
Like, I couldn't be out there in the dark without somebody else out there. It just had a weird, unsettling feeling. Mm-hmm. And I always, when you're a kid, everything's a monster. I always equated it to some type of monsters were coming out of the river to come get me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, water obviously is the catalyst for paranormal activity. The Indian encampment from the Revolution,
mm-hmm.
plus just in general Indian land, I mean, I don't know. That there was always just something back there that was unsettling at nighttime. So maybe per se it wasn't even the house that was haunted. Maybe the land is what was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was fairly old for that part of the city. It was 1885, which, I mean, considering a city that went back to the French and Indian War, that's not old, but that mm-hmm. is pretty old for our city, since we like to tear everything down that wasn't built last year.
No.
Well, this city has a lot of history.
And
as we know from our land play tours.
Yes.
But every family on that street had issues in their house. It wasn't just us. It was every house had history there. And there was a gentleman who was writing a book on those stories, and then he passed away and the family threw out his manuscript. They would have loved to have had that manuscript to see what he actually compiled from people there.
Absolutely.
Now, our great uncle Joe had lived in one of the houses at the bottom of the hill
mm-hmm.
growing up as a kid, and I guess there was a lot of activity going on there, and this in the 30s, mm-hmm. 20s, 30s, that they brought the church in. The church actually built a little makeshift altar near the front door, the candles, the statue, the crucifix,
mm-hmm.
told them when you get these weird feelings or see stuff, light the candles up. 2 months later, the house burned down. But before that, they actually went out shopping or something. At one point, they came back and all the candles were lit, and nobody had the candles lit when they left. So, and then it was ironic that the house burned down.
Very strange.
So, I mean, everybody there had their own set of stories, which lends, maybe it's not the property, maybe it's the land all of that sits on.
Maybe it was in my, because like I said, I grew up there around that. I didn't grow up on that street. But I've been on that street nighttime, absolutely. Maybe that whole street, because when I was a kid walking through that area, I would just bustle through. I'd just hurry myself up. I wouldn't lollygag. It was like something was really off about that street. And of course, back then I was 10. I wasn't nowhere near into the paranormal type of thing. But it was kind of strange, creepy. And maybe the whole street is that way. Ever stop and think?
Of that area.
No, I wouldn't either. But you know what would be amazing? If you could actually get a consensus of the area, maybe, even today, see if anybody on that street is experiencing anything strange.
Again, with the drug use, I'm sure they would be able to separate the
fact from fiction.
Pretty much.
Contaminated evidence at this point.
So I'm going to throw something out there for you, and please, in the studio audience, which we have over here. Something that happened on the tour David and I went on. I'm not going to give a specific location of where we're at on the air, but you all know where we was. Now, let's debate this, whether you think this is disrespectful or not, and how a group should handle this in the future, because this is going to be an issue in the future. We were brought to do an investigation at a certain park where there is a 911 memorial. And it contained a very, very large beret, almost did it, very large chunk of the Trade Center. It was circular, so it was some type of pillar. It had I-beams riveted to it, mm-hmm. concrete. It was about 11 feet tall, maybe 7 or 8 feet wide. Stone memorials all around it. We did an investigation on the memorial. Now I put the voice recorder out there, the K2 meter, and we had the spirit box running. And it was the answers I got that I didn't like. One of the first questions I asked, I'm like, what month is this? And it came over September. And right away I'm like, no, 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 no. And it's like, what floor are you from? Ninth. And I'm like, oh, no, the coincidence. It's like, no, no. And it's like, were you in banking? Were you a financial person? Fireman. I'm like, no, no. Now you had three specific things that are starting to pinpoint. At one point, we asked how many people are here or how many people are attached to this item. It said 14. Now I have to go back and replay the tape from it. There was at least three or four different names that came through that were pretty clear, first and last name. I didn't like it, so we pretty much shut down the investigation. I at that point, I'm like, you know, we don't mean you any disrespect. You may not know what happened or if you're even dead. It's like, if you want to tell us who you are, if you have a message, we'll make sure we pass that on to your family or we'll play this audio for them. And we ended the investigation there. Now, that went from paid entertainment to me as an investigator, like, we shouldn't be doing this. But then part of me is like, well, maybe we should be doing this because if there is somebody attached to that, it should be our right to notify the family.
Are you more
what
do
you think of that?
I think it's important. I think it's a, yeah. I think paranormal, I think, I'm sorry. All right. I think.
Larry O'Grady, everybody.
Oh, everybody. All two of our listeners.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I think it's very important. I think paranormal research is important in that aspect. And I think with technology and things like that, I think in the future we'll be able to rewrite history books with certain answers we'll get from like places like we live very close by to the Risky Battlefield. Mm-hmm. If I mean, the way technology is advancing and advancing and advancing with paranormal research, there's going to be a time where we're going to be able to rewrite things. Things are going to be canceled out.
I agree.
And if it goes as far as us getting answers from someone who may be attached to an item that happened at that time, then I think it's important that we get those answers. I think it's important that we do something about it, if that's the case.
Okay, so now if you have the answers, how would the family react to that if you play it for them?
I think it can go either way. I think maybe the family could freak out, mm-hmm. or the family could be willing to listen, but there has to be some kind of... What's going on?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. It's all relative, I think. It's relative to the family. Are they open to that? Are they not? Do they want to believe that the person's at rest? Which then again, okay, maybe they're at rest, but then again, maybe it's like a split consciousness. Maybe they are at rest and then there's another part of them that's attached to this. Maybe they're, you know, we don't know.
What do you think about, now when we do investigations around here, a lot of things that happen around this area where we live in Rome, long time ago. Do you think it's safe to say that maybe it would be okay, but it's too soon?
Wait, what did you just say?
Do you think it's too soon? Too soon to approach the September 11th?
I don't think it's too soon.
You don't think it's too soon?
I don't think it's too soon at all. I don't think
it's
too soon.
It's been 15 years.
It's been 15 years.
I know.
It's been about 15 years. I don't think it's too soon at all. Mike?
And what I was going to say, that as paranormal investigators, we're sort of like scientists, and I think personal feelings have no place in what we do. Sorry, call me an a-hole.
No.
That's a good way of looking at it, actually.
But I think what we do, especially if we're looking at it from the scientific perspective, if you're going to hurt feelings, or I know you have personal attachment because of your feelings towards firemen and everything, but if you're getting constant hits, You should have kept going. You're getting definitely real solid evidence.
Yeah, maybe he's right.
That's my personal belief.
John, what do you think?
I think it's the kind of thing that, if you're going to do it, should be done as a private investigation, not to the oohs and ahs of the truth. So I think it was appropriate to end it when you did.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, that's a really good point.
That's a good
because
point.
It shouldn't be done for the oohs and ahs of the truth.
Good point.
I disagree. I think if you're getting solid evidence, it doesn't matter who was around. It doesn't matter if Jesus was around. I think if you're getting solid evidence...
Well, if Jesus was around, I would have stopped it anyway. But that's...
Speaking from the other part of this argument, the family, coming from something that happened tragically in my family, there's maybe never a good time to approach anybody about that. Because when you lose somebody like that in your family, whether it be a huge tragedy like that, or a murder or what have you, sometimes there's never a good time to approach a family member or anybody about it. Some may want, you know, say, oh, thank God, you know, Larry, Pete, you guys are great, this and that, you know, now I know cousin Edwin's okay or what have you. And then there's the other side, you know, how dare you? You know, my family member's been gone for 15 years or 20 years.
I think that's great. I think it's great that we have a group as large as we do because we have people that will say, you know, I'm not comfortable doing this. But then you've got people like, say, Mike and myself, and we could say, well, we'll go do that.
And I think you're dealing with that.
And we can cater to who we would like
personal experience, like we were investigating something that happened to you.
Right.
And we were getting answers for you as opposed to we were just at a random historical landmark.
Right.
Getting evidence. Yeah, there's people out there, maybe they had messages for someone, but that wasn't your intent. Our intent
sure.
in that situation.
Sure.
Situation. Is to prove that the paranormal's out there.
But to be devil's advocate, where I'm thinking is when does it become obsession for the family now? Are they going to live at that memorial because their loved one is there?
That could be tough.
Or do you have to worry about, like, a wife goes there and blows her brains out because now she knows her husband's there?
But
do you know what I'm saying?
But what I'm saying is we don't have an obligation to even tell those people.
Well, that's true.
Exactly.
Tragedy upon a tragedy type of situation.
We weren't there because the family asked us to be there. We were there being paranormal investigators. If we were in a situation helping people, someone specifically asked us to find answers for them, that takes on a whole different case. But like what you were doing was just a straight up scientific inquiry.
And I think there are people that are out there that are open to hearing what we have to say. But there's also people that think, ooh, paranormal,
but again,
witchcraft.
That's outside
don't
of what
believe
we
it.
Do. We're not investigating houses and then finding people. We're not John Edward. We don't
right.
get in the spirit world, and then hopefully we can find someone to pass information to. We're looking for concrete evidence that world exists.
Right.
So you got to kind of look at it with
or
a scientific mindset.
But you're dealing with the spirit of a person. It's not like in physics where you're studying a scientific thing with that.
I understand that, but we're not spiritualists. We're scientific. We're investigators.
Dealing with a spiritual
science
person.
Has no room for personal feelings.
You're still dealing with a spiritual being, and you should still be sensitive to that.
No, I don't.
I think
as a scientific investigator, feelings have no place in it.
Then what's the point of being a paranormal
investigator?
I'm torn.
If
it's all science,
like I said,
energy, if there's no person there, then what's the point? If they came to us
specifically looking for our help, then yes, care about what the people feel. If it caused them, but if they didn't, if we go investigate Fort Stanwix, and somebody's ancestor died 300 years ago, it's fair game, is what I say.
And if there's anybody out there listening, if you want to call in and give us your opinion on the matter,
1-888-429-5471, I think.
Or you can also email us at stayspooky@yahoo.com. And we can go ahead and air your opinion on
that's a
live
good
air.
You
heard
that.
Yeah. Thanks,
Steve,
for that.
Steve did it.
What?
StaySpooky.com.
Yeah, thank
you.
And that goes for if you want to hear any topics that we're not discussing on the air and you feel like you want to hear something that you want to hear, just right there, StaySpooky.com. And we'll...
At Yahoo.
At Yahoo.com. Thank you. We'll... go ahead and research it for you and have it on an upcoming episode of our radio show.
Absolutely.
So here's six of our team, and we're all split on the same topic. Yes. But Mike brings up a good point.
Everybody has a great point.
Like, I don't have a moral obligation. I feel I'm doing something I shouldn't. I can step away, and Mike's going to do it. So he's going to continue the investigation.
Talking about sensitivity to the family, because you're right. If you use the example of if we were investigating the
family. You're talking about sensitivity to the person, since technically it's still a person.
Yeah. That's more my point.
I get that.
It's probably, I don't want to say more spiritual, but side of everything.
It's scientific.
How would you feel? How would you feel?
Nobody cared when we dropped an A-bomb on Japan. That's all I'm saying. So who cares?
I think Jonathan has a great point being sensitive to them, because if God,
maybe it's more
darn
respectful.
I forgot what I was gonna say. Steven and Mike and I forgot.
How would you feel, Jonathan, if you had lost a family member there and somebody came to you without you approaching them first, saying, you know, how would you feel?
If somebody came to me and said, we've contacted your family members,
yes.
I don't think I would want, personally, I wouldn't want anything to do with it. To me, you know, but
I'm sure that depends on your perspective. Yeah. If you've already moved on.
And that would be something.
I will go to a psychic and say, I'm scared of my dead grandmother. Why? Because let the dead be dead. Let the dead lie.
But if they're contacting, are the dead lying? Are the dead still, you know, are the dead at rest?
I believe that if a spirit is manifesting itself because it has some unfulfilled purpose, something it still needs to get off its chest as a final thing, and I'm the one who has to do it, the spirit will manifest itself. God will allow the spirit to manifest itself to me if it's something I have to do. But if it's not something I have to do, then there's no reason for it. Or if it's something that I have to do, why would God allow the spirit to manifest to somebody else?
I get concerned, like you were saying, concerned for the dead. I'm concerned, do they even understand?
That's the whole point.
We
don't know.
Like, and that's the thing, like, if they're not aware, are we going to be the ones to tell them, listen, buddy?
In many ways,
you
it's colonialism into the spirit world. Native doesn't know you're taking his land till it's too late. Spirits are the same.
I don't want someone, like, if it was me and I kind of all of a sudden something happened and a switch flipped in my head where I'm kind of in a dream state somewhere and I don't know, and then all of a sudden I'm talking to someone, like a flip of the switch, I'm talking to someone and they're like, listen, this is what happened to you, you're dead. I personally, I would want to know. I would want someone to kind of wake me up and snap me out of that to be like, oh, wait a minute, no, now I see. Now, I'm dead. I'm dead.
You know, I did ask that question. Do you know that you're dead? Do you know that something happened that day?
That's why when we're on investigations, I kind of veer away from saying, do you know you're dead? Do you know, I want them to understand what we're doing, and then you kind of slowly dip your feet into that water.
On the other page, I've been reading a lot lately on exorcisms and a lot of John Zappas' work, and the first thing they all say, Pete, is whatever demonic influence tries to first affect you, it comes at you with something that'll get the best reaction out of you. One of the things that'll get the best reaction out of you is exactly what it did.
And children.
And again, they'll lie to you and tell you what you need to hear in order to get the reactions that they need. Especially when people have problems with little kids. That's another thing that pisses me off, is little kids. And, you know, things will attach themselves to little kids and try to get... I was talking with this girl a few months ago, and she was talking to me about her daughter, and her daughter was talking and communicating with something in the house, and it was telling her that her parents didn't want her there anymore. And trying to get the little kid to not talk to the parents and trying to get them away from the parents. And that, like, just listening to that kind of just...
You know, I and Larry also, you know.
And we apologize. We keep going off the air.
Larry brought up, you know, and I think maybe, Larry, if somebody's terminally ill and they know they're going to die and they die, they know they're dead.
Yeah.
But if it's a tragedy, somebody either like a 9/11 situation or a murder situation, that there's sudden death. Mm-hmm.
Something like
they
that.
They don't know they're dead.
Like and you're kicked out.
Yes. Yes, and, I think that.
Or if you die, like if you die when you're sleeping, do you know that you died? Are you aware of it?
Exactly. Like I mean, if you die and you're sleeping and you die in your sleep, do you know?
Are you stuck in a dream state of that dream that you're in?
I don't know. That time of death?
If your energy lives on after your body dies, the state in which you transfer over, I think, has very little to do with how you accept it on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
If you die in your sleep, whatever you relate to being dead or not, you're going to know or not. It has nothing to do with the fact that you were asleep and died in your sleep.
Nothing knows. Here you go, Larry. Here you go. If you die in your sleep and you're dreaming, are you in that, like you just said, are you in that dream forever?
Are you stuck? Are you kind of stuck in that dream state, not knowing?
Because all my recent readings have taught me one very important thing, is that although we inhabit the same body, there's a very big difference between your physical body and your spirit.
Oh, absolutely.
They can almost, well, what we're trying to prove is,
thank you.
I hope that doesn't mean any other one. I got a bad one. Oh, sorry. That they can pretty much, as we're proving, coexist, well, your body can coexist without each other. People in a coma, because they have no spirit, ghosts have no bodies. So,
yeah.
I personally,
this is why I like being a part of this group, because everybody's got their own things. Everybody knows what
there's a lot of
ideas.
You know, a lot of people say the tragic death has to cause you to be a good. I don't believe that.
Here's my Catholic plug here. And that's why us crazy Catholics pray for the dead. People say, why are you praying for the dead? Why are you saying rest in peace? They're dead. Leave them alone. No. That's why we pray for the dead. Well, that's why All Souls Day is a thing. We have masses for the dead. That's why, because it's so important to us what happens to the spirits of those we love when they pass on.
That was leads into that. I don't even know what I was going to say. But along with that, I think it's your belief is what determines whether you move on or not. You don't run into a lot of ghosts that are super devout. People who tend to wholeheartedly believe in an afterlife generally aren't the ghosts you communicate with. You know what I mean? When we communicate with spirit and you got to send it into the light, if you were to die, you go into the light. I have a feeling.
I don't know.
If it's your belief.
Depends if they have whiskey or not.
Hey, that was great, guys.
Chocolate.
We should explore this a little more.
Are we done?
For a while.
Is it over?
No, they,
no, we're
going to torture these people for another 25 minutes.
You know what we'll do? We left it open, staySpooky@yahoo.com. Give us a phone call. If you don't want to call, email us your opinion, and we can revisit this next radio show and see what our listeners think.
Well, this brings up something I was arguing with some one of the colleges. If reincarnation is a real thing, where are all these extra souls coming from? Because there's more people living on the planet now than there was 20,000 years ago.
Well,
there's 6 billion people now. There were maybe 100 million then. So where is all this extra?
Well,
or is that why we're getting weaker as a metaphysical people, because every time we reproduce, we're splitting our energy.
If you believe in reincarnation, their soul's coming from stuff that's not. You didn't have to necessarily be a people. So there's more people on the planet, but less trees. We were all spirit trees. Spirit trees.
Spirit trees.
And did we get Nina? Did we get Nina?
No, we did not.
If you're interested in calling, it's 1-888. I don't remember. 1-888-429-5471. And that was a very good exchange. And it just shows you a small sample that even among a group of friends and investigators. We're sharing DePaulo's conference center tonight with election night festivities. So by the time we get closer to 9 o'clock, it's going to rip apart here.
More and more noisy for us, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand my moral.
Everybody has their own opinion, and that's what makes our group, you know, as far as I'm concerned, more diverse, that we have, not everybody thinks the same way.
But that's all they kept in my mind, is like, if you play this for a grieving wife, even though it's been 15 years, and they may even have children that have never heard their father, I mean, that is a possibility. Mm-hmm. What, you know, and she confirms it's his voice,
yeah.
You know, and I think, oh, he's okay. So there is an afterlife, and then boom. It's like, you know, then so you've actually like led to another tragedy on tragedy.
A tragedy situation. And at that point, where do you say, you know, enough is enough, you know?
And not to beat a dead horse, but, I mean, that just shows the difference between a group that's been around for a long time and has weathered the...
proverbial storms.
Pretty much, versus a flash and pan group that's like, oh my God, look at what we got, let's contact the family. And then they have, excuse my language for lack of better description, a shitstorm they start, because now they don't know how to undo what they did by just blowing it out there.
I think whether you are doing the research and doing the investigation, you do have a moral obligation to keep, you know, you need to do what you think is right. And Pete, I'm with you on this. If I was there, I probably would have felt the exact same way. You know, it's tough. That is so tough.
It's a tough call because, you know, as an investigator, you want to go one way. You're getting something really significant, and you really want to continue down this path. But then it's not a private thing anymore, because you're in a situation where there's a lot of people that have maybe paid to be there. And they have every right to be there. Where do you say, as your investigator says, stop, because this is not a private thing anymore? These people are hearing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this leads into another, maybe another topic kind of down the same road, about which we've come across lately with certain unexperienced groups, investigating cemeteries. Which, as a group, I think consensus is we just do not do, out of respect for the passed on spirits as well as the dead that are there. So,
what it boils down to is whether you're doing a public event or a private investigation, the utmost respect for the family and for maybe the spirit that's there and is trying to contact you.
Absolutely, exactly.
It boils all down to that. Mm-hmm. And are you showing respect? I'm sorry.
No.
Are you showing respect for the spirit if there's a bunch of people in the back that, like I said, have a right to be there because they paid to be there? So I think maybe as an investigator, you say, you know what? I would love, because this is what we do, to continue down this road, but I can't.
Right. Right.
Let me. I was hoping the good father would still been in here with that comment, but he could probably explain this a little better. Cemeteries, and I have to put the Catholic slant on this, whether people out there understand this, there should not be anything in a Catholic cemetery. Now, the reason is, when that plot of land is purchased, it's consecrated. They bury relics there, they pray over it. It is literally consecrated ground. There should be nothing there that's evil, nothing there that can penetrate that evil. So to investigate a Catholic cemetery, I don't think you're going to find anything. I don't even think, if there is that unseen rule book that we always talk about, I don't think they're allowed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're dealing with that little old 1700s cemetery that's buried in the woods behind somebody's house, those are the ones I would have to say you'd need to watch out for, because that's not consecrated land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would say anything goes at that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you know what cemetery dirt sells for? Dear Lord, I was looking online at that. That's like a real thing.
Is it really?
eBay. They have it on eBay.
Cemetery dirt?
Cemetery dirt.
It's used in witchcraft. Yeah. And spell casting.
I didn't know that.
But how do you know?
That it's really cemetery dirt. I could be going out in my backyard going, cemetery dirt.
I got tons of dirt in my backyard.
I'm like, I got a couple 200-300 buried in Rome Cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Just be filling them by the shovel full.
Mm.
Would you like rocks, too? I can hook you up with rocks.
Rocks, cemetery dirt.
Very, very interesting tonight. Very interesting.
It was a good exchange for that. Absolutely.
We next week we're going to be next show we're going to be coming to you with Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
Rich will be here for that.
Maybe some somewhere down the line we'll get into some UFOs, and maybe some listeners will get online and type in www.stayspooky@yahoo.com and give us some topics that they would like to hear from us, and that you're always welcome to do so, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
And right now we're actually in the middle of a renovation of Paranormal Investigator Radio, so by January we should be up and running with the new format. We're going to try getting call-in guests, like real guests, so you don't listen to us banter on about nothing. I mean, like celebrity guests. We've been talking to people. Maybe if there's groups out there that research UFOs, Bigfoot, conspiracy theory, and that paranormal crap, you know, maybe we'll have them on.
That'd be great.
That's a good idea.
We'll put you under the test.
Absolutely.
The RIP test. Do you dare?
RIP extravaganza.
The RIP extravaganza. I like that.
Advertising. If you'd like us to mention you or your product on the air, What is it, Steve?
www.stayspooky@yahoo.com.
Let us know what you got. If you want your product tested, we'll be more than happy to put it to the test.
Absolutely.
We're not paying for it, but if you want to send us your product, we'll be more than happy to test it.
Absolutely.
We're also going to be bringing you commercials, music.
Ooh, commercials and music.
Nude photos. Oh, you can't see those, but we're going to have them. No. I was just seeing if anybody's listening out there.
You just had, I just imagined a bunch of people just doing something while they're listening to the show, and all of a sudden, nude. Look it up real quick from their computer or whatever they're doing. It'd be great.
And it just, yeah.
I think a future show, too, maybe like within the next two or so, we should be doing vampires, because I remember somebody asking about the vampire.
Oh.
Was it one of our listeners?
I don't know why I got the microphone. I just had something to say to you. I know a lot about the history of vampires and I'm very, very... When I started doing paranormal investigating, I started getting, at first I was around 13 years old, 14 years old, I was really young. I started getting really, really into the paranormal, and when you're young, you don't understand things, so you start getting into the occult more, and you start learning about that, and I got really into learning about vampires and all that stuff. So, and I ended up doing a bunch of reports on vampires in history class, or in a history and health class, and things like that. So, hey. I know a lot about that, so I don't believe in any of it, but I know a lot about it. So call in and things like around. I don't know why you handed me the microphone. I have not really the same.
Okay.
I'm doing a show at DePaulo's on the 14th. I got something to say about that.
What are you going to say about that?
That. Okay. Exactly what I said. Come on down, bring your kids.
So Larry will be vamping you out then.
You know, I can't wait to hear it, because I've never seen you do your stand-up, so I'm looking forward to that myself.
Oh, you'll laugh a couple times.
I hope so.
At least once.
At least twice.
Maybe two or three times.
That's going to be my album. That's going to be the name of my album is You'll Laugh At Least Twice.
That's actually a really good name.
Yeah, I hope so. Very good, Larry.
So I have this... It's not paranormal by any means, but it's a very strange coincidence, and I'm not sure if anybody saw this on the news. There was a guy in a flight who sat next to, he was seated next to a guy.
Oh, that looks exactly like him.
That looks exactly like him. Did you guys see this?
Like yes. Who?
This doppelganger.
It's called a doppelganger. And basically, this guy and his wife were on a flight, and I'm not quite sure where they were going, but... He was seated next to a guy that looks identical to him.
Oh, I see. I know what you're saying now.
So I will show you a picture, and all of you online, just look up doppelganger flight. You'll be able to find this picture. And here you go, Steve. Take a look at that. These two guys were seated next to each other.
Get the heck out of here.
Can you see that? Flight doppelganger. Just look it up online.
How creepy is that?
It is the most amazing thing. I've never seen that before.
Out of the chances. What are the chances?
You say everyone's got someone who looks like them out there.
But that's amazing. That's amazing. The similarities are...
Uncanny. Like they could be twin brothers separated at birth, right?
I had to bring that up. I needed to share that with you guys.
Apparently, I have a double who walks around in Rome. People have
really
said that I have a double.
Somebody called me Ashley one day. Somebody said I looked like their niece Ashley.
Had a guy come up to me in, I think, the Aldi's parking lot the other day, and he's like, "Hey, Sean, how are you?" And I didn't think he was talking to me, so he's like, "Hey, how are you?" I don't think you have the right music on.
I actually,
it's a really awkward moment.
I actually, a couple of about 6 months ago, got stopped by a Rome police officer saying, "Hey, is your name so and so?" I says, "No." And he goes, "Oh, you're not so and so?" I said, "No." You know, and it's kind of unnerving when a cop stops you and asks you if you're so and so.
Well, what was the description of the guy?
I guess he
was
like me.
There's only one description of you, Steve. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well,
guess he looked like me, but
the cop's got a call from a doctor.
It was
from one armed man.
It was kind of crazy. He says, "No, I'm not him."
And he's like, "I don't care. I want you to search every hen house, dog house."
So I don't know if anybody saw this. This is my last piece of news that I have. The Stanley, where The Shining was filmed, they're turning it into a horror museum. Did anybody hear about that?
No, but that's...
kind of cool.
I don't know how I feel about that.
And I think, what is the hospital that they're turning into a haunted hotel? What is that, Waverly Hills?
I think so,
yes.
They're turning it into a haunted hotel?
Yep.
They did that in Massachusetts. Boston has the haunted Danvers Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
They have converted Danvers into apartments.
Really?
Yeah.
So, Waverly Hills, everybody, as a group, to turn it into a haunted hotel, you're staying? You're staying? Anybody else? Just me and Steve?
Aren't we going next year? I thought we were
going
to plan
it. Where
are we going?
Waverly?
Can I drink?
I'll go, yeah, for sure.
Well, they've got a, it's not ready for occupancy yet, is it?
No, we're going to have to wait until it's up and running.
We're going to have to get a hotel and then go visit Bobby Mack.
Oh, that's a good idea. Who's up for
Bobby
Mackey's?
It's like an 11-hour drive.
That's
where's Bobby Mackey's again?
Bobby Kentucky. Mackey's.
It's Kentucky. In Kentucky. Oh, Waverly's in Kentucky too, right?
You want to go ahead and Google Bobby Mackey's.
I don't want to go to Bobby Mackey's. I've seen the Ghost Adventures episodes. And
that is a very
not
creepy
good.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not as well.
No. About Bobby Mackey's?
Yeah. I don't think that would be a place that I would investigate. Absolutely not.
Is it bad news?
If
is
the
that...
Ghost Adventure guys don't want to go Mackey's. Back there.
Yeah.
Larry, Google Bobby Mackey's.
It pretty much, from watching the Ghost Adventures, and I am partial to that show. I do like their technology that they use. They don't have camera crews running around.
They
them.
Do. They also have on a particular television show. I'm not going to say the television show, but I'll let you guys know after. They have a thing on what happened there to this particular person. That was actually possessed there. Bobby had an exorcism, I do believe. Yeah.
Yeah, and was it Aaron that says Bobby Mackey's ruined his marriage? I believe that was on Ghost Adventures. He actually ended up divorced, and he does blame it on Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah, that place is very. I don't think I'd really want to go there either.
I would. What else can happen? What else can go wrong in the life of Larry O'Grady?
Exactly. So, you see my life over the last year? Trust me, devil can't do nothing.
So we'll stop at the
room. There was that day I decided I was going to become a stand-up
Waverly
comedian.
Waverly Hills, yes, that's a good idea.
The year I was on a
Waverly Hills. Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, Waverly Hills. What did I say?
Waverly Hills, yes.
Yes.
Bobby Mackey's,
no.
I'll go to Bobby Mackey's. Who's down?
Me. I want to see that hole of hell.
We should see if we could get a paranormal celebrity that we know to go with.
Staring at a hole of hell.
That'd be a good idea.
Maybe we can set up.
If I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking, yeah.
We can set up an event at Waverly, maybe a sleepover?
No, just for us.
Just us.
Oh, just us?
I'd love to investigate.
What about pillow fights?
Absolutely.
I know who you're talking about.
I think if we have a certain paranormal celebrity, it would make things even go smoother. So, things would go smoothly. And
then if you get possessed, he can take care of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oops, I just let the cat out of the bag.
Oops, Pete. Bad.
He's not.
We pulled off our last event for the year, right? You guys did the Gloversville.
Oh, Gloversville.
Actually, no, I wasn't part of the
It was me, Larry, and Rich did Gloversville, and it was very successful, and we had quite a bit of activity.
Yeah, for real. I ended up getting pinched. I got pinched for the first time ever. Pinched.
Oh. How much time did they give you?
Oh, what a job. You guys are comedians.
Two minutes.
So you got pinched.
I got it. Two minutes. Oh.
Oh, and in that group, Larry, you had a woman whose button popped off her jacket.
Oh, yeah. Woman's button popped off her jacket. And hit, not even a button. It was just a button sitting like on her jacket. And it went pop and popped off and hit a woman next to her in the face. And then the same people, I was sitting there and I do the typical pinch me, punch me, poke me. When I said pinch me, not a couple seconds later, I got a hard pinch on my leg. It could have left a, it should have left a bruise. It didn't leave a bruise though, but that's never happened before. And that was fingers. That was somebody pinching. We ended up getting the name. I forget the name that came through a couple times. Or not.
Rich had in his group over the spirit box, it said, kill Rich. And actually, the group got upset and goes, don't be mean to him, he's nice.
I figured that was hilarious.
Yeah.
No, we all get along.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys, we got about a minute left in the show. It was a pretty good show tonight.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Don't forget, anybody who's listening, email stayspooky@yahoo.com if you have any questions, if you have anything you want to talk about, any future discussions, just let us know.
And we'll be happy to go on the air with it.
Are you John Cena?
All right.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you very much for tuning in tonight.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm Leonard Peter.
I'm Roscoe Donald.
I'm just going to say Nicole Jeffrey because Jeffrey Nicole sounds weird.
You have a great, great night and see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Hey, Boogie.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.